I want you to give careful consideration to this message tonight. You know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians said something like this: "My little children, I travail like a woman giving birth to a child. I travail till Christ be formed in you." In you. Till Christ be formed in you. Now, I've long understood, and this thing called salvation is Christ in you. Paul said, "It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his Son in me, in Christ." Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. Christ is my life. Not the life of my profession, but he's my life. I fear lest we are among those who put our religion on Sunday or on special occasions. We wear our religion and we can discard it as easily as we put it on. But the apostle said this. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet it's not I at all, but it's Christ that liveth in me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Now, I've long understood, I know this is true, that this work of redemption, this work of God redeeming a people, saving a people, must be considered as it truly is, an eternal work. An eternal work. Now, watch this. Turn to Romans 8. Let me show you this. It's an eternal work. It's something God not only does in us, but something God does for us. And it's an eternal work. Now watch Romans 8, verse 29. "For whom he did foreknow." Now here we projected ourselves all the way back in eternity before the world began, when only God was, before the foundation of the world. And that's when he foreordained us. That's where we are here. For whom, there's a whom there, there's a whom he foreordained. A whom, he calls them his sheep, calls them his brethren, calls them his elect, calls them Israel, calls them his people, whom he foreknew. Then it comes on down. He predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, them he what? Glorified. Now we're clear on the other end. When he glorified, there'll be a new heaven, new earth. The old earth will be dissolved, melt with the fervent heat. The old heavens pass away. New heaven, new earth. Last enemy destroyed is death. And when we see him, you read about it, Charlie, we'll be like him. All right, you take that whom in verse 29, see that for whom he foreknew, and that them, verse 30, he glorified, and think of the decades and centuries and millenniums between those two words. Whom, them. Whom he chose in Christ, whom he loved in Christ, whom he gave to Christ, whom he foreordained to be like Christ, them he justified. So long before time began, God in an eternal counsel purposed to have a people like Christ. His covenant's called that eternal covenant. Eternal covenant. His lamb is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. "And I saw a lamb," John said, Charlie, "as it had been slain." Same lamb. But look at the eternal aspect of it. Look at the things that have transpired between the lamb chosen and the lamb exalted and all that took place. All these millenniums between the two. Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. the Lamb in the midst of the throne. For known unto God are all His works from the beginning. And if you turn to Revelation chapter 21, now the Scripture says someday, one of these days, an angel is going to stand on the sea and on the earth and declare that time will be no longer. No more time. Christ shall come, there'll be a new heaven, new earth, the dead shall be raised and stand before God, His people will be gathered. And verse chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1 said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away and there's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with me, and He'll dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Do you see that? And we shall reign with Him forever. But that, this thing of salvation, I see it in its as an eternal work. As an eternal work. Salvation's of the Lord. From its origination to its completion. It's of the Lord. Whom He foreknew, them He glorified. Those whom He chose, for whom Christ is a lamb slain, Christ to be the lamb exalted. I want to be among that number. I desperately and sincerely want to be among that number. I want you to be. It'd break my heart if anybody here was not in that assembled multitude at the feet of Christ in that great day. And partake of that, God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. All right, secondly, now we know that. That's established. There's no doubt about that. The Scripture's too plain on this. Salvation is of the Lord. It's an eternal work. Whom He foreknew, them He glorified. Like Barnard said one time, there'll be plenty of room in heaven, but no vacancies. Plenty of room. Every seat's going to be taken, but there's plenty of room. Come on. Foolish people talk about 144,000, but they're always part of it, you know. But there's a number which no man can number. The sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky. There's plenty of room for you. But I just assure you of this. If you're among them He glorified, you're among those whom He foreordained. Given to Christ. That's right. All right, secondly, I know this. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I've long understood that this work of our Lord in redeeming His elect, the whom and the them, in redeeming them, is a lifetime work. It's just flat a lifetime work. You say, how long's a lifetime? Well, it's how old are you? It'll take as long as you live for God to save you. That's what I'm saying. And I can show you that from the Scriptures. It says, for by grace have you been saved. For by grace have you been saved. Through faith. That's the way that reads. And then the Scripture says, to them who are being saved, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. Now that's what He was being saved. And Paul clearly says that our salvation is nearer now than when we believe. In other words, this is what I'm saying to you. I'm saying that from all eternity, the hand of God has been upon a people. The hand of God has been upon a people. God knew you. If you're one whom He foreordained and them whom He'll glorify, if you're one of them, God's known you from your mother's womb. Whether you were born in Africa, whether you were born in China, whether you were born in Russia, born in the United States, God Almighty's eye and hand has been upon you since before you were formed in your mother's belly. And that's, He said that to Jeremiah, if you want to look it up. It's Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. I'm not preaching strange doctrine. I'm telling you the truth. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I sanctified you. I chose you. I set you apart. I put my hand on you. You're mine. Now, sanctification is setting apart. It's taking something which is ordinary or something common and God setting it apart from all the rest and saying, this is mine. He sanctified the Lord's day. That's the seventh day. He took it from among the other six and he said, this is my day, back in the Old Testament. He sanctified the vessels of the temple. He set certain vessels apart and he said, these are mine. He sanctified the firstborn, even the cattle. Said, that one's mine. God said, and here he's saying, before that seed was ever planted in the womb and that life was ever formed, I said, that one's mine. Maybe a little black boy you're going to see in the next 2 years. Maybe a little black girl. Maybe that's why God's sending you after some of his elect over there. It may be somebody you'll get a job and start working next to. You say, if they're not babies now, they're grown, but God knew them before there's babies. That's right. Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb. Paul was a 40-year-old religious rebel. Paul was a 40-year-old smart aleck, what he was. Paul was a 40-year-old know-it-all. Paul was a 40-year-old Judaizer. Paul was a 40-year-old lawkeeper. But God still knew him. God knew him before he knew God. God loved him before he loved God. God knew Saul of Tarsus from his mama's womb. And he said, that is mine. He doesn't act like one of yours, but he's still mine. That's right. It's a lifetime. This thing of salvation. God either has his hand on a man or he doesn't. He either has his hand on him for mercy or his hand on him for judgment, but he's got his hand on him. Our Lord said to the Father in that great prayer in John 17, said, you've given me authority over all flesh, black flesh, white flesh, red flesh, and yellow flesh. I have authority over all flesh that I should give eternal life to whom you gave me, whom he foreknew. And he knows them from their mama's womb. That's right. And the Lord Jesus will be revealed to the heart of that sinner when it pleases God. I want you to turn to Luke, if you will. The book of Luke, chapter, I think it's chapter 1. I'll have to look for it, but it's in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 1 or 2, when God spoke to Simeon. It's in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now, what he said of Simeon is true of every one of God's elect. Every one of them. Now watch it. Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. He was religious, honest, man of integrity, man who believed in God. He was waiting for something. What was he waiting on? The Messiah, the Christ. That's who he's waiting on, the consolation of Israel. He's waiting on the Redeemer. That's who he's waiting on. He's waiting on the Redeemer, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Now, this is what I'm saying. I'm deliberately and boldly saying that everybody in this building, everybody who will hear this tape, wherever they'll hear it, in this country overseas, if you're one whom he foreknew, if you're one of them who will be glorified, in your lifetime, sometime, before you die, you're going to see the Lord's Christ. I guarantee it. You're going to see the Lord's Christ. I'm not talking about thee. I'm not talking about a vision. Well, I'm going to lie awake every night waiting on a vision. No, that's not what I'm talking about, and you know it. I'm talking about you're going to see the Lord's Christ. You're going to see the Lord's Christ. You're going to see him in his power, in his wisdom, in his glory, in his redemptive work. You're going to see him. You're going to see him. You may be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, or 70, but you're going to see the Lord Christ. If you ever see him in glory, you'll see him in his redemptive work. That's right. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know when God will please to reveal Christ to your heart. But he'll reveal him to your heart. He will. And we'll be kept. You'll be kept. And you'll never depart from him either. Once you see him. Now, people come down here and shake the preacher's hand and join the church. And they're in and out and up and down and cold and hot and all this sort of thing, you know. And people come up here and go into this pool. They put on the gown or put on the white pants and they are baptized, you know, and get on the roll full of religious whim and wiggle, you know, for a few years and then they're gone. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not all what I'm talking about. They go from Arminianism to Calvinism, from that to some other ism. That's right. I see them come and go. But when you see the Lord's Christ, be a different story. Be a different story. Too many promises here. Turn to Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. Now watch this. Philippians 1:6. He says this. Philippians 1:6. I'm confident. I'm confident. Apostle Paul speaking of this very thing. I'm confident of this. That he which hath begun a good work in you. But that work is in you. That's what I keep trying to say. I travail till Christ be formed in you. It's not a work upon you. It's in you. It's not a work of persuasion. It's a work of revelation. He that hath begun that good work is a work of revealing Christ. We'll perform it. He'll finish it. He'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, I will not forsake them, and they'll not forsake me. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. And then he'll bear me safely over where my Savior I shall meet. Now then, thirdly, this glorious divine work of redemption. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about an experience. I'm not talking about an emotional crisis. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about reforming your life or turning over a new leaf. I'm talking about salvation. Whom and them. I'm talking about those people who make up the Lord's bride, the Lord's body, the Lord's people. The just shall live by faith. It's an eternal work. It's a sovereign work of a living, holy, almighty God. It's a lifetime work. A man who's entered into this path never departs therefrom, if God put him there. A man or woman who has the sovereign Christ revealed to his or her heart never departs therefrom. A person who comes to know the living Lord has already died and lives in Christ and cannot depart. You read that he cannot sin. His seed remaineth in him. He's born from above. He's a child of God. And no person whom God ever saved can ever cease to be his child any more than that girl right there can cease to be my daughter. She can change her name. She can change her address. She can change her mind. But she's my daughter. That can't be changed. It cannot be changed. Nothing in heaven, earth, or hell can change it. And I'm telling you that about God's sons. Now you said we are sons of God. Am I? I'll be tomorrow too. I'll be the next day too. And I'll be when he calls me home. I'll be a son of God. I can never be anything else than a son of God if he gave me birth. Is that right? Well, you know it's right. It has to be right. You never cease to be his son. He never departs from you. He will not depart from you, and you cannot and will not depart from him. Never, you can't do it. You can't do it. Now, you can come into church and leave anytime you want to. You can come into a doctrine, leave anytime you want to. You can come into a reformed way of life and leave anytime you want to. You can come into emotional spirits and leave anytime you want to. You can come into a persuasion and leave anytime you want to. But a man who is, you know what a union is? Two become one. I'm in union with Christ, and I can no more leave Christ than he can leave the Father. I in them and thou in me. That they may be one as we are one. Can you see that? I tell you, I hate religion. And I'm getting to the place I almost hate preachers of religion as bad as I hate their religion. They're deceiving people. They're con men of the worst sort. Talking about, you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. You can join a church and, you can do all those things. But if you ever brought by the power of God, by the sovereign grace of God, by the purpose of God into a living union with his blessed Son, you'll never leave. You can't leave any more than he can cease to be the Son of God. That's right, Mike. That's right. It's just a pack of foolishness. That's all in the world. We're surrounded on every street up and down here with fools and con men and foolishness. And I'll tell you this, thirdly, I know this. That glorious divine work of redemption is an eternal work that God does. God does. Miraculous, supernatural, birth from above. God does it. And I know it'll be done in his good time. It's a lifetime work. From my mother's womb till the day God calls me home. But there is indeed a day. There is indeed a day of divine visitation. That's the title of this message. There is a day of divine visitation in that eternal purpose, in that lifetime, from the in that day from eternity to them he glorified, in that time from my mama's womb to the day John Steen will embalm me. Right in here, somewhere, there is a confrontation with the living God. That's right. There's a time when you say, I do. That's right. I know it. There's a time when the sovereign Redeemer is pleased to meet that sinner and reveal himself. You see, we don't love an unrevealed Savior. We don't have a husband whom we don't know. We don't have my beloved that I've never met. I've met him. He kissed me with the kisses of his mouth. And I knew it when he did. And I responded. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, sir. That woman at the well. God met her, didn't he? How long had he known her? Whom he foreknew. How long had he known her? From her mama's womb. Boy, he left her in a mess, didn't he? Yes, she stayed in a mess for a long time. She went her way. She didn't know him. She didn't know his way. She didn't love him. But he loved her. And one day at that well, he crossed her path. That's right. He crossed her path. I'm not talking about a 24-hour day now. I'm not recommending that anybody try to remember a time. Somebody's tried to say, I'm going to see if I can think of a time. No. That's not it. You fool around and trust the time. And I'm not talking about a place. Let's see, she met him at the well. Where was I when I saw the light? Well, you wouldn't even be conscious if you really saw the light of a place. I'm not talking about a day. But what I'm talking about is there is a, and I hunt for a word, but there's a meeting. There's a meeting with the Lord God. There's a confrontation. There's a day of divine visitation when the living God fulfills what he purposed to fulfill, fulfills what he purposed to do. When the living God applies to the heart of a man or a woman, repentance and faith through the Spirit and the Word of God. I could go through the Bible and give you some illustrations. I do know this. Jacob never forgot that night he wrestled with the Lord. He never forgot that night. That's the night God changed his name. He'd had a lot of religious experiences prior to that time. You say, "Brother man, I'm no fool. I know. I didn't say you were." Well, I know a little bit about the Bible. I'm sure you do. Jacob did too. Well, I've had some experiences with God. Jacob had too. Some unusual experiences. But he never had one like this. He never had one like this. From that moment on, his name was changed and his walk was changed. Wasn't it, Kent? Our Lord touched him in a way that he never forgot it. That's right. Moses. Moses was 80 years old when he had this confrontation. 80 years old. You say, "Well, I know a few things." Moses did too. Well, I've been around. Moses went around in a little basket. And God protected him in that basket. Moses was in king's houses and shepherd's hovels. But on that mountain one day, he met the Lord. And he said, "Who are you?" "I am." And I tell you this, that old gentleman was never the same. And I'll tell you something else about that old gentleman. You could never alter his course from that day till he walked into the presence of God. That's right. "I know whom I have believed." That's what Moses could say. We're people that talk about, "I know what I believe. I know when I believe." Paul, Jacob, "I know whom I believe," Jacob said. "I can tell you something." What about Job? We studied it this morning, taught it to your class. He said, "I've heard of God." Who hasn't? He said, "Now mine eye seeth thee." It's a whole new ball game now. It's a whole new ball game. "I've heard of you." Isaiah had too, but he said, "I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord." And I tell you, our master said, "He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life." I see. I see. There's a difference, my friend. There's a whole lot of difference. Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus saw him. "Who art thou, Lord?" "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Lord, what will you have me to do?" I tell you, from that time, he could look back and talk about where he was born, of the tribe of Benjamin. You didn't slight that birth before he saw the Lord. You bet not. He'd jump all over you. But he could say, "I count it but dung." Why? The revelation of Jesus Christ to his heart made that fade into insignificance. Absolute insignificance. He talked, and I'll tell you, prior to that time, he was pretty proud of his education and his credentials and his accomplishments. He could name them all. I imagine they were on his office wall. But I'll tell you, once he saw him, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, he never even looked back to those things. What are they? What are they? You know, Isaiah repeatedly uses a term. I want you to turn to Isaiah 2, first of all. Isaiah chapter 2. He repeatedly uses this term, "in that day." In that day. And this is what I'm saying. Now, you're with me because you're listening good. And you're responding. I can see it in your many faces. And you know that this great redemptive purpose is an eternal work. And you know that this redemptive work is a lifetime work. A man asked me, a preacher down in Louisiana. We were standing in the aisle after the service. I wish I'd have thought of this when he was talking to me. It just now came to my mind. But we were standing there in the aisle talking, and he's been pastor here and there and yonder and here and there and yonder. He's pastor of a PCA, Presbyterian Church of America, now over in Louisiana. And he came to hear me preach. I met him in Kentucky years ago. Nice man. And he shook hands with me. He said, "How long have you been pastor over there?" I said, 36 years. Going on 37. He said, "How do you stay in one place so long? I wish I'd have thought to say, because it takes a lifetime for God to save His true people. That's how long it takes. I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. God sent me to minister to His sheep and His elect in this place till He saves them. I really believe that, Ken. I believe when you establish your ministry, wherever it may be, you'll be there for God's elect till He saves them. You know, we'll save everybody, and you'll be discouraged. There'll be, well, you've already seen this. You've seen them fill the building and then disappear. But one stayed. And then fill it in another place, but two or three stayed. And they heard. And they walked with God. And they walked with God. And like old Enoch, they just walked right on into heaven. Takes a lifetime. That's right. But he uses the word, and what I'm saying though, but there's a time, and I've experienced it with some of you. There's a time when you give mental assent to these things, it sounds biblical and scriptural and logical and feasible and whatever. And all it, but then there comes, I've seen it happen in your lives. And I wait for it to happen in others. I've seen people come from just from what we call ordinary religious lives and ordinary, common, everyday cooperation to committal. I've seen it happen. I've seen people come, "Hey, I know Him. I know Him." I remember, if I may use you as an illustration. You don't care, do you? You're not going to quit, are you? Okay. But I used to see him sit back there, way back on the back, every Sunday morning. He was a school teacher and religious and upstanding in the community. And you believed the Bible. You know, you didn't have anything against it, did you? But he'd come to church and sit back there. I remember one Sunday night, I'd never seen him any time on Sunday morning, sometimes not then, but most of the time. One Sunday night, I came through there and walked in, sat down, I happened to look up, and I thought, "What's he doing back there? Doesn't he know this is Sunday night?" It's exactly what I thought. Wednesday night, it's true, isn't it? Wednesday night, what's he doing back there on Wednesday night? And then it dawned on me, God's doing something. God's creating a thirst and a hunger and a desire. That's what was happening, wasn't it? God was doing something. God was doing something. And I can't create it. You know, everybody by nature has an emotion called religion. Everybody by nature wants to go to heaven. You know anybody that doesn't want to go to heaven? Everybody believes the devil's a bad man and sin's a bad thing to do. And everybody ought to be good. And it'd be great to go to heaven, and everybody believes Jesus Christ was born on December the 25th or 24th or sometime there, and He arose on whenever it falls, April, May, or June, whenever Easter comes. But everybody doesn't have that hunger for God and that thirst for righteousness and that desire to know Him. Oh, to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, to win Christ and be found in Him. Or to be in divine union with the Son of God. Or to be one of His elect, one of His own. That's different. And when that happens, that man's not going to be stopped till he knows Him. "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." That's what he'll say. And that's what I'm talking about. That's that time. Let me show you this. And I'm going too long. But turn to Isaiah 2. Let me show you this. And this day, in that day, Isaiah 2 verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. What's happening? Conviction. It's a day of conviction. See that, Tom? It's a day of conviction. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. And the loftiness of man shall be whittled down, bowed down. Haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. My friends, I promise you this. When that day of confrontation comes, when God meets you in that saving grace and faith, before He'll give you grace, He'll judge you. He'll break you. He'll cut you to the heart. He'll strip you before He'll clothe you. He'll empty you before He'll fill you. He'll kill you before He gives you life. He'll humble you before He exalts you. And He'll judge you before He gives you grace. Put you in the dust. That's where He'll put you. I am nothing, have nothing, and know nothing. Now look at Isaiah 11:10. Watch this one. Isaiah 11:10. There's a day of conviction. There's a day of humbling. And then Isaiah 11:10 says there's a day of revelation. And I know this is talking about the great day of Jehovah. But I tell you, the great day of Jehovah is made up of people who've had a great day with Jehovah. That's just exactly right. And how are you going to have the great day of Jehovah unless you meet Him? And so in Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it or to him shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. The woman at the well says, when Messiah comes, he said, I'm here. I'm here. He's called by many names. He's called here Root of Jesse. He's called the Seed of Woman. He's called that prophet. He's called the King of Peace. He's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's called the Rose of Sharon. He's called the Son of David. He's called the Son who's given. He's called the Fairest of 10,000. But I tell you this, by whatever name He's called, His people in that day will look to Him. They'll be stripped and broken and brought down, and their eyes turned in one direction toward Him. Christ. That's right. All right, what's the third one now? Isaiah 25, verse 9. Watch Isaiah 25, verse 9. And it shall be said, Isaiah 25, 9. I love this one. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We waited for Him. We waited for Him. This is what I've been wanting to hear. This is the voice I've been waiting to hear. This is the one I've been waiting to see. This is my God. This is my God. That woman with the issue of blood had tried all the physicians, and finally she said, oh, if I can just get to Him. This is my God. Listen, and He'll save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for Him. We'll be glad and rejoice in His salvation. I'm saying this, that in that day, when God's pleased to meet you, confront you, through His gospel, through His word, through His spirit, you say, but will I receive Him then? Oh yeah, you're going to receive Him because He'll strip you. When will a man grab a life preserver? When he's going down. When will a man reach for food? When he's starving. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And before He ever shows Christ to you, you'll want Christ more than you want life itself. That's what I'm saying. So He'll strip you, and when He holds up the robe of righteousness, you say, that's what I'm waiting on. And when He breaks you and holds Christ up as the Redeemer, you say, hey, that's my God, that's the one I've been waiting for. I see what you're talking about. See, most people have never needed Christ. Most people have never needed Him. This is my day. This is my day. This is my God. This is my God. Now here's the other one. In Isaiah 26, verse 1 through 4, and it's a day of assurance. Isaiah 26, listen, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates. That the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in, and thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now one other scripture, turn back to Isaiah 12. And that's what gives birth to this song right here. And we'll close with reading it. Isaiah 12. And in that day, that day of divine visitation, that day when God singles you out, that day when God's arrow shot on purpose hits the target, that day when God has been stripping and breaking and humbling and bringing down and revealing Christ, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, and he was. Thine anger is turned away, and you're my comforter. Only in Christ can God comfort a sinner. Behold, God is my salvation. Not the church, not the pastor, not the law, not my works. God is my salvation. I will trust and I'll not be afraid. I'll never be afraid. Whatever comes my way, I won't be afraid. I'll never be afraid. Why? For the Lord Jehovah. See that big word, Jehovah? God's my Savior. God's my Savior. He's my strength. He's my strength. And my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. He's the fountain of living water. The Holy Spirit is the wells of living water. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. You go in that day, call upon his name. You call on him. You'll declare his doings among the people. His doings, not yours. You make mention that his name is exalted. You'll sing unto the Lord. For he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. There's not a voice, not a language in which his voice is not heard. So cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. That's what you were talking about this morning. Again, I've set my king in the holy hill of Zion, and we're in that Zion. You're an inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now let me tell you this. When God met old Job and shut his justifying mouth, his self-justifying mouth, and he said, Job, I want to ask you something, boy. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I put a swaddling band around the seas? Said, this far you're coming. Now, where were you? Well, I have to say with Job, you know, Lord, I won't shut my mouth, but I will say this. I know where I want to be when he lays the foundation of that new earth. And when he enthrones Christ, I know where I want to be. I want to be in his fold, don't you? As one of his sheep. So if he's met you, Isaiah 12 will be the response. And when he meets you, it'll be the response. Our Heavenly Father, we have tried. O Lord, thou knowest. Lord, you look on the heart and know the motives of men, the thoughts of every person. And we sought to be clear and to be honest and truthful from thy word with those who hear, with the congregation of thy people. And I know before thee that thou art God and salvations of the Lord. From beginning to end. And I know, O Lord, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And we're of the house of Christ if we continue.